So, the title of this message is The Goodness of God, okay? Corey has talked about, you know, peace, and I want to stay right on that path, and I know most of our ministers that minister here have been preaching on the same thing, and I want to stay on the peace path. And I thought today would be a great day of remembrance of how good God is. We've already heard it from one. We have testimonies of Roger. We have, Dan is not here, but man, there are so many good things. I have testimonies of my own, and if I had 2 hours to preach instead of one, I could probably stay here and tell you about all of them. I've seen it in my job. I've seen it in my daily walk. I've seen it in finances. I've seen so many good things that are just happening, and the favor. Let me tell you something about favor. Having favor in the eyes of men, now that's something to strive for. Does that mean we're men pleasers? Absolutely not, because it doesn't work that way. You can't be and you can't have favor just by what they would call brownie points, or what's the other one? The nose, the brown nosing. That's the word I'm looking for. It doesn't work that way. When you walk in righteousness, the favor of God is automatically on you. It comes on you. And you start to find favor in the eyes of people that you had no clue that you had favor with. God performs miracles and does amazing things for you and through you just because you walk in righteousness. And the walking in righteousness part is very, very important. It's what changes your life. It's what allows God to use you to change other people's lives. And the testimonies that you possess are life changers for yourself and for others because of the goodness of God. The goodness of God is like, I mean, you could preach on this. I've got 38 minutes to tell you about the goodness. And that is not near enough time to spend on it. You could spend a whole day preaching about just the love of God. It's not that God just loves us. It is way deeper than that. The goodness of God and the loving kindness He has towards us is a difference maker. And when I'm talking a difference maker, I'm talking about Tom Brady as a quarterback. When you're that old and can win Super Bowls, my friends, you are operating in your gifts. Amen? When you're Tiger Woods and can win the Masters, and you can still play golf after almost being dead, you are operating in your gifts. Now, it's way better, it's way deeper than that. I'm not talking about just physical gifts. I'm talking about the spiritual gifts. Because His goodness and His loving kindness towards us spiritually is what changes the physical realm. Because the miracles, when you hear the word miracles, miracles are not things that operate through nature. Miracles go above and beyond the laws of nature. Amen. It's way bigger than that. Way bigger. Miracles defy the laws of nature. You can't say, well, it's a miracle. I found a dollar the other day. That's not a miracle. You were in the right place, the right time, and somebody dropped a right dollar right in front of you. That's all it was. It wasn't a miracle. You found a dollar. That's what happened. Amen? But when you can come to church on Sunday after having a stroke, that's not many people do that. Even if people felt good, a lot of times they'll say, you know what, I probably should just stay home this Sunday. Because, you know, there was a stroke and, you know, had to go to the hospital. I spent a night in the hospital. I thought I was about to die. I thought I was going to, And I was passing a kidney stone. I'd never passed one before. They laid me down on that little stretcher, that little thing, you know, and they hauled me out of my apartment. And I go to the hospital, they lay me down under the CAT scan. And I'm like, and they wake up, and I get up, and they're like, "You got a kidney stone." Oh, okay. I'm on morphine, hiring a kite for 2 days, feel like throwing up for 2 days. But the goodness of God. I might come back to the kidney stone thing here in a minute when I start talking about diet and health and all that stuff. Because the goodness of God is more than just Him giving stuff to you. It's way deeper than that. So I'm in Psalms 103, and I'm also going to be in Psalms 34. If you want to find those two, Psalm 103, verse 1. I love how, you know, these psalms always start out with how David's praising. It's always, "Praise be to God." And then he tells you everything that happened. "Praise be to God, you destroyed my enemies. Praise be to God, you kept me alive. Praise be to God, you've healed my body," or "you have forgiven me." So verse 1, let's start in verse 1. He says, "Bless and affectionately praise the Lord, O my soul." What does affectionately mean? It means with everything you got, wholeheartedly, praise the Lord. It's got to be something deep inside of you. When you get a hold of that, the loving kindness and goodness of God starts flowing towards you. Why? Because you have acknowledged the supreme being that says, "You are my Jehovah Jireh. You are the provider of all things. All things that are good towards me." He says, "And all that is deep within me, bless His holy name. Bless and affectionately praise the Lord, O my soul. And do not forget any of His benefits." Benefits. Hey, there's some benefits that goes along with being a Christian. Amen? I mean, it's like going to a job, you know, okay, so what's the benefits? Well, we give you free insurance, blah, blah, blah. So you got hell insurance here. You got fire insurance when you're saved. You got hell insurance that says, hey, you know, when you die, guess what? You won't burn in hell, amen? You won't catch on fire. There's some good benefits, all right. Now watch what it says here in verse 3. This is good stuff. I got a revelation on this yesterday, and this is good. He says, now they're talking about the goodness of God now. Verse 3, I'm reading the Amplified. He said, "Who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you lavishly with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle." Now, what I noticed about these scriptures, this is just my interpretation. This is not the Bible talking. This is Coach Byers talking. Amen? This is Preacher Byers. When I saw that, I said to myself, that looks like the order of things. First, He saves you. I mean, because think about it. God does not pour out blessings on people like Hitler. Amen? He don't pour out blessings on the ones that don't trust Him. He pours out blessings that He wants to give to you because you are a child of God. When you are a child, He is the Father. The Father wants to bless the child. That should be the nature of every father, is to bless the child. Number one, He forgives you. He starts with that. He starts with, "Do you receive me?" "Yes, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I believe you died on the cross. You were buried in the tomb. You arose again on the third day. I believe in those miracles. I believe that you are my Savior." Then it says, "Who heals your diseases." It says, "Now that you are this, I choose to do this." "Who redeems your life from the pit." You ever felt like you're in a pit before? You ever felt like you were at the lowest of your lows? You ever felt like there ain't no way to go but up? It reminded me this morning of the donkey that had the dirt. He was in a pit, and they just kept throwing dirt on him. And what did he do? He just kept stepping up. Yes. He just kept stepping up. Are you going to throw some more dirt? Okay, throw some more. I need more dirt down here, guys. And just step up. And then just step up some more. Yeah. Anytime the enemy tries to bury you, you just keep stepping up. You keep moving up. Forgives your sins, heals your diseases, redeems your life from the pit, and then watch what happens. He crowns you with loving kindness. After you're brought out of the pit. Now, wearing a crown down in a pit's not much good, is it? I mean, if you're in a pit and you got a crown on, does it really matter? Usually people that wear crowns are seated at high places of authority. They're not in pits. They are raised to a new level, to another level. It sounds like the story of Joseph. In a pit, brothers didn't like him, threw him in the pit, sold him into slavery, and then he comes out eventually to be second command to the highest man in all of Egypt, who was at that time the head of the Egyptian empire, which was the largest empire in the world. Takes you out of where you are to crown you and put you at a high place. That's God's goodness. He said, you've been to the lowest of lows. You've asked for forgiveness. Now I'm going to heal you. Now I'm going to pull you out of the pit. Now I'm going to take you to, it's like it's different levels every time. Like once you get saved, it's like a new level. You got healed from your diseases, you go to a new level. Then all of a sudden he takes you out of the pit, you're at a different level. Then he takes you to the highest point and puts a crown on your head. You're at the top, baby. That's what the goodness of God is. God, the goodness of God, he's so good that he don't want to leave you where you are. He wants to take you to a new level so that you can be a testimony to others. So that your bad can be somebody else's good. So no matter what happens to you, you can be a living testimony and say, hey, you know, I went through some stuff here lately, and I'm here to tell you, if you don't fix what you're doing, you're going to be there too. Not that we're trying to curse somebody, but what we're trying to do is say, hey, I've lived it, I've seen it. You're talking about diet, I've passed kidney stones. I've educated myself on how to not have kidney stones. And it's a true blessing. Amen. It'll change your world. And it wasn't because I had to read a book on it. It was because God gave me revelation knowledge. Now, I did have to study and find out, but it's the revelation knowledge. Does that mean my body's perfected? No, it's not perfected yet. I'm working on it, though. Amen. We're always got to be working on it. He says, who satisfies your years with good things. Now he's talking about the progression past the crown. Who satisfies your years so that your youth can be renewed like the eagles. So now he's forgave your sins, healed your diseases, pulled you out of the pit, put a crown on your head and said, now I'm going to make your years and your old. I don't know about y'all, but when I turned 30, like from 30 to like right now, this is the healthiest I've ever been. I'm stronger and healthier now than I was when I was in college. I'm not bragging, I'm just saying that's me. I feel good, and it's because of revelation knowledge, because of the goodness of God teaching. And you just got to have your mind. If your mind's not open, you ain't going to learn. He's taken you from not being saved to now renewing your youth like the eagles. Not to make you like a bird. He's not trying to make you a bird. He's trying to make you soar like the bird. The bird that flies at the highest, that's why America has an eagle. We didn't choose a chicken or a rooster or a pigeon. We chose an eagle that's at the top of the flag. We chose the best bird. And if you study eagles, and I've read a book Mike Murdock wrote about 5,000 Wisdom Keys, he talks all about the eagles and the chickens. The eagles cannot stand to be in the barnyard with the chicken because that's not where they're called to be. Chickens will always gripe about the eagles being in the barnyard. Chickens will complain. They don't want to soar way up there. No, because we got to get back home to the roost where the eggs are. But the eagle says, my place is up there, and I'm going to soar. And they make their nest up on the cliffs and the mountains. And then eventually, eagles, if you study eagles, they're not the nicest bird. When the babies get so old, they just kick them out of the nest, say, learn to fly, sucker. Learn. And then as he's flobbling and flailing and flopping and flailing, the eagle swoops down and picks him back up and says, all right, try again. And am I right? He had eagles on his property. They're an interesting bird to watch. Renewing your youth like the eagles, so that you can soar up there instead of hanging out in the barnyard. I'm not saying anything wrong with chickens. I love Chick-fil-A, baby. But chickens have a purpose. But it is not for me to pattern my life after them. Amen? It's my job to cut them up and dip them in honey mustard. Amen? But you would never do that to the eagle. The eagle is a protected bird. It is a bird of majesty. It is an amazing bird. He's not trying to make you a bird. He's trying to make you like the bird. Amen. Gosh, that's so good, man. Let's skip down to verse 8. He said, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in compassion and loving kindness. Verse 9. He will not always strive with us. Now, as I was reading the Passion Translation the other day. Actually, let me pull it up right quick. Verse 9. I got it right here. Watch what it says. This is so good. A lot of people think that God is like this. He says, you don't look at us only to find our faults, just so that you can hold a grudge against us. You may discipline us for our many sins, but never as much as we really deserve. I mean, we all deserve something. Amen. We all deserve what Jesus got. Tied to the whipping post and whipped with the cat of nine tails. We all deserve that. Every one of us. Even on your best days, you're still a human. Amen. Even on your best day, even though God has made us soar like the eagles, on your best day, you're still a human. Born into sin, but redeemed through Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank God he does not watch us looking for something to hold a grudge against. Can you imagine what heaven would be like if God was up there like, oh my God. Can you imagine how depressing heaven would be? All the angels would be depressed. God would be depressed. Jesus would be depressed. Holy Spirit would be depressed, all because of the way humans act. And all the things that they say and they do, and all the doubt that comes out of their mouth, heaven would be pretty depressing. But it says that he doesn't watch us so that he can find fault with us. Our God is not a God that is trying to find fault with you. He is a God that's trying to help you and to fix you and to change your mind and to change your way of doing things. Yes, you have to be different as a Christian. It's not the same as being unsaved. You have to change your mind. You have to be a different person. It's not the same as being how you used to be. The Bible says that you are a new creature. And the word creature is, you could preach all day on that. You go through a spiritual transition when you get saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit. Your mind, your body, your spirit man goes through a whole change. You become a new creature. You know, when you drive around Austin, I'm sure when you're driving in those cars, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that probably need to be taught a lesson. Amen? There's a lot of people you work with. There's a lot of people you come in contact with that probably deserve to be taught a lesson. But God loves them too. You know, every time I see a situation when I'm driving and somebody does something, it's just me. I mean, I all of the man that's within me and all the testosterone, like Corey says, like Tabasco sauce rising up from your toes to the top of your head, wants to get in the flesh when somebody does you wrong. But then I stop and think, and I remember, about all the times that I've done something wrong. I remember the times when I've pulled out in front of somebody. I remember the times when I messed up. And then I start thinking to myself, you know what? That guy's probably in the same situation that I was 20 years ago or 10 years ago or 15 or whatever years ago. You were them at one time. You've done the same thing. I guarantee you, you've probably done it. So for you to let all the testosterone, if you're a man, the testosterone rising up on the inside of you, maybe if you're a woman, it's the estrogen rising up on the inside of you, I guess, makes you so mad that you just want to go off on somebody. And I'm telling you, every one of those people probably deserve it, but so did you. And God still was patient with us. God still believes in us enough to want, God still loves you enough to want to keep trying. All you athletes, you remember standing in the locker rooms and the coach said, you know, come on, you can do this. Just keep on trying. Our God loves us and understands us so well that He's always up there saying, hey, just keep trying. Just stay focused. You can do this. You don't have to act like that. You don't have to be like that. You can do better. Once I heard this, it changed my whole life. You're better than that. You just have to believe that you're better than that. When all the testosterone's rising up, you have to remind yourself that, hey, you're better than that. You don't have to do that. Because what happens when that happens? If you look at Fox News, you saw what happened in Florida the other day on a golf course when the group of four in front was not going fast enough and the group behind started yelling at the group in the front. And they said, hey, we can only go so fast. The group in front of us is too slow. And ended up in a fight. Ended up throwing down on the golf course. When I go to the golf course, I go to relax, baby. I don't go to fight. It is the funnest, most frustrating game on the whole planet. But as I was telling Chance earlier, there's a par four. Ricky, I told Chance, I didn't tell you. The par four in Burnett, you know the number 15? Where you can drive the par four, the one that was on TV has the big plaque right there. This guy drove the green and it stayed on. We're at a coach's tournament, and you know, I got about 100 coaches or whatever. And there was four coaches up there. I was like, you know, I've tried to hit this green before. I probably can't hit them. So I'm warming up. And I rear back and hit that sucker, and it lands 4 feet from the hole and rolls past 12 feet. And they were like, wow! And I was like, wow! I can't hit the green. I've hit the bottom of that green, just like Chance says, so many times, and that sucker just rolled down under the trees every time. But that one shot, baby, that one shot made me want to go play again. But when you go, whatever it is that you're doing for relaxation in life, do it with everything you got. I don't care what you're doing. Do it with everything you got. You don't have to be out digging a hole or playing a football game or doing this to say, hey, I got to give it my all. You should be giving it your all as soon as you leave the pillow every morning. Amen? Every day. This Christian stuff is not just on Sunday or, hey, maybe on Monday or it's starting to wear out on Tuesday, and by the time you get to Wednesday, you forgot what happened on Sunday at church. And you're starting to get desensitized to the world, and all of a sudden you forget that you even are a Christian. You know, oh yeah, gosh, I got to go pray. Or hey, I'm better than this. Or man, I got to remember that I'm better than that. Or I got to do this, I got to do that. I am a Christian. Yeah. Hey, join the crowd. Amen. We're all in that boat. It's not, I mean, Jesus never said, hey, it'll be easy, man. You get saved, shoot, you'll wake up praying in tongues every morning. He didn't say that. He did not say that. Verse 11 says, for as the heavens are higher above the earth, so great as His loving kindness toward those who fear and worship Him. His loving kindness towards us is higher than the heavens. What you think is goodness and mercy and loving kindness, these things are all great. But I'm here to tell you that there's a bigger purpose behind Him just being good to you. It's way bigger than that. Turn to Psalms 34. I'm telling you, His goodness isn't just, you know, hey, I'm going to make sure you can pay your bills. His goodness covers a wide range of topics in your life. When you need to know what God's goodness is, just insert something that's going wrong with you today and say, God, I know you can fix it. Just put the title right there. Just write it in your prayer notes or whatever. And when you go to pray about it, say, look, God, I've got this right here, but I know that your loving kindness, Psalm 103, verse 3, says that you saved me, you redeemed me, you pulled me out of the pit, you crowned me, and now you're renewing my youth like the eagle. So I know that this problem is not too big for you. And once you get a hold of the fact that your problems are not too big for God, thank God they're not, amen, or we'd be serving the wrong God. We might as well go back to Egypt and serve all the Pharaoh statues, amen. But thank God our problems are not too big for our God. Because if they were, we're serving the wrong God and we need to leave now and go home. Psalm 34. Verse 1 and 3, he talks, you know, I'm just going to skip through. I'm kind of behind on time. He says, I'll bless the Lord. He's talking again. He's praising the Lord, affectionately praising. He's like, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God. Then he starts telling you all the things that he's so thankful for. Watch verse 4. This is important. He said, I sought the Lord on his authority of his word, and he answered me. You need to expect God to answer. Don't go in the prayer room and say, oh, I don't know if you hear me up there. I don't know if this problem's too big. I should even be bringing you this problem, Lord, because I know you got lots of bigger problems to deal with. Blah 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 blah. And he's just up there like, just sit down and be quiet. When you seek the Lord, you should expect Him to answer. Expect it. In your finances, in your job, with your car, if it's broke down, if you got a brand new car, even brand new cars break down, amen? No matter what you're dealing with, you have to expect that we serve a God who can answer your problems. Amen. Otherwise, we're serving the wrong God, amen? Verse 5. Okay, now this is one that I think we all need to hear because we've all done this before. Watch this. He says, verse 5. They looked to him and were radiant. No, let me read the passion. Watch this. Let me get here. Because I had it in my notes here to read this. Because it's got something I want to talk about. Verse 5. Gaze upon him. Join your life with his. And joy will come. Some of you have a hard time figuring out how to get joy. The Bible says that joy comes. How does it come? It's when you gaze upon Him and you join your life with Him. Now watch this. Your faces will glisten with glory. Now, we don't see that physically, but I guarantee in the spiritual, it's happening. Now watch this. You will never wear that shame face again. So, joy comes when we join ourselves with Him and it travels towards us. Now watch this, I had to write this down. It glistens with glory. No more will we wear the shame face. Okay, now watch this. I had to have a junior high kid explain this to me one time. I didn't know what it was. All this new terminology is like whew, right on my head sometimes. Now watch this. I'm not going to say the term. I'm going to give you the acronym for the term. Okay? Now, let me say this before I get to that. If you let... it was, okay, so no more shame face. We're talking about shame or pride or arrogance or mad face. Y'all following me? If you let your face do the talking, make sure it's relaying a good message. Now watch this. If you're not joyful, don't let your face say what your mouth is not. Now, to the acronym. Okay? I'd never heard this before, and I heard a kid say it, and I was like, what are you talking about? Huh? Are you following? You know where I'm going with this? That the three-letter acronym starting with the letter R? RBF. Exactly. Okay, I can't say what the RBF stands for, but it means resting B-word face, okay? Don't let your face say what your mouth is not. Because I'm here to tell you that when you're wearing that kind of face, that is not the good pride. Because the RBF face is a spirit of the wrong pride. And if your face is saying something that your mouth is not, you're going to have a few enemies before 5 o'clock gets there. And you know, you've always had that face, you know, and you get that. I'm telling you, Jesus never wore this face. Jesus loved all of them, even when they deserved the RBF. Amen? It is not a good thing. It is the wrong kind of pride. Let your face reflect what's in your heart. And for some of us, we need to work on that. Amen? Don't carry that face with you to work. I don't care if somebody disagrees with you. The only way you win people over is with honey. You got to throw sweetness. You got to throw good things. The only way you're going to earn favor with people is being nice. Amen? Even when they don't deserve it. Everybody deserves to be taught a lesson. We've all been there. We've all deserved to be taught a lesson. Sometimes you were on the bad end of the deal. But if you're not joyful, don't let your face say what your mouth is not. Let what's on the outside reflect what's on the inside. He says, gaze upon Him, join your life with His, and joy will come. When you are encountering those situations, you got to remember who you serve. And you are a direct reflection of who Jesus is. And if you mess up and they know you as a Christian, guess what you've done? Guess what you've done for the unsaved? You've just ruined it. They're like, man, if that's what they call Christians, I don't have no part of that. And then church gets labeled as something that has a bunch of people at it that think they're too good for everybody. You don't want that. Now, if you're in charge, yeah, you take charge. You're the one in control. You're the one that has the authority. I'm not saying don't take authority. But what I am saying is if you're on the same level as somebody else and you ain't the man in charge, be careful about what you say. Be careful about what this thing reflects. Amen? Because it matters a lot. Because your face can sometimes say some naughty things. And then you have friends by the end of the day. Or you have enemies by the end of the day. But just because you led them to believe that you were dissatisfied with what they were saying. There ain't nothing better than talking it out. Nothing. That's why the Bible said, if you got a problem with your brother, what does it say? Go to him. Talk it out. Verse 6. Now, I'm going to paraphrase this because I'm running out of time. Verse 6 through 11 talks about fear. He says, when you fear God, I love how God uses healthy fear to destroy unhealthy fear. He says, if you fear God, all of these fears, these problems that you're dealing with, you won't have to worry about them. He said, because you fear the one that can take care of those problems. So I'm not going to elaborate on that. So in other words, verses 6 through 11 talks about fear. If you want to read on that, you can. But a healthy fear of God can fix your fears that you're dealing with. Verse 12. I'm going to read the Passion. Okay, now this is a good one too. He says, do you want to live a long and good life, enjoying the beauty that fills each day? He says, then never speak a lie or allow wicked words to come from your mouth. Woo! Have we done that? Have you ever heard the state? You ever heard somebody? Now this, I'm going to go back to the diet thing. Okay, I'm gonna camp right here for just a little bit. Because when I say kidney stones and you've never passed one, and you start trying to figure out what diet's all about, I'm here to tell you when you pass a kidney stone, everything will change in your mind that day. That day. When I went home after that first one, I started educating myself. I said, I was 40 pounds overweight, and when you're 5'10 and a half, that's too many. When you got to hold your breath to tie your shoes, that's too many. So for me, 220 was too much, okay? So I'm going to camp on this for just a second. Have you ever heard anybody say, well, you know, because I'm talking about God's goodness, and I'm talking about how your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and you need to take care of it, okay? Have you ever heard somebody say, well, I'd rather die unhealthy than unhappy? I'm here to tell you that that's foolish. Amen. I'll just keep eating and drinking, putting stuff in my mouth. Now, I'm not picking on people who eat the wrong thing. I'm still trying to fix my problems too. This is the best shape I've ever felt in my life. Strongest I've ever been, healthiest I've ever been. Now, running the 40 again, you know, the 40-yard dash, probably couldn't do that. But I feel good. And I fix a lot of things that was wrong with me. And the reason I meditate on this is because your diet is the most important thing that you can do for your body. And when I say passing kidney stones is a life changer, I'm here to tell you it is. I'm sure your stroke, Janet, was a big life changer. I'm sure your problems you were having, that stent they had to put, that was a heart attack, right? Heart attack? Did you have a heart attack? What did you have? Blood clot?
No, it was just chest pains.
So you were avoiding a heart attack, so you were on the verge of heading that direction. You were this close. I remember my grandfather when he was, I think he was 82 or 83, somewhere there, he had a five-way bypass. I'm like, they don't do that on, I mean, my grandfather was a Marine. That dude was tough as nails, man. And walked fast. Everybody always kids me about how fast I walk at school. They're like, gosh, where are you going? You trying to get something? I was like, just habit, I guess. I just walk fast. And it keeps me in shape and gets my steps in, right? But you were on the verge. Just think of all the things. Just think how different life would be for them if you weren't here. Just think how different life would be if you weren't here. I'm not trying to pick on people because, you know, you're eating donuts or whatever. I've eaten the donuts, amen? And I will fight and I will wrestle with my right hand to not eat donuts when coaches bring them to class to the coach's office. I will have an argument with this. And don't you sit down. Put your hands in your pockets. Yeah, them donuts look great, but I'm out of here. You got to remove yourself. You know, sometimes you just got to leave. You got to remove yourself. Do not get in the mindset that you'd rather die unhealthy than die unhappy because you love eating or drinking whatever it is that you eat or drink. I'm not picking on the alcoholics. I'm not picking on the dippers and the smokers. I'm telling this to all of you because it matters. Your body is the only one that you will ever have, ever. Because the one that you're going to get when you leave this earth is a glorious body, and you'll never have to worry about fighting donuts ever again. We will eat from the tree of life that gives us everything we need. We'll be in the presence of the Father, get all the information we will need. We won't need to pursue knowledge. We will have it. But right now, it is imperative that you pursue wisdom and knowledge and understanding. If God... I heard a minister say this one day, and it opened my eyes. When you hear the statement that God is in control, don't you ever believe that. God is in control of certain things, the end time prophecies, the things that are supposed to happen, blah, blah, blah. He's not in control of your life. If he was in control of your life, then why would we need to pursue knowledge? God would just take care of everything. We wouldn't need to pursue wisdom. We wouldn't need knowledge and understanding if God just fixed everything and did it all for you. You have the choice to eat the donut or not eat the donut. You have a choice to eat or drink whatever it is that is in front of your face. And it's worth it to pay extra for the good groceries. Amen? Amen. It's worth it. Don't get a poverty mindset and ever think that you are not good enough. The Bible says that God pulled you out of the pit and crowned you with glory, and he's making your youth renewed like the eagles. He's coming back for a glorious church, not a rotten, stinking one. One that's healthy, wealthy, and wise. I got to get through some more stuff here. This is so good. So I'm going to leave the food part right there. I'm going to leave that to y'all. And I got to get to this one before I close. Verse 14, I'm going to read the Passion again. He says, keep turning your back on every sin and make peace. Peace, your life motto. Practice being at peace with everyone. You have to learn how to turn your back on things that don't belong to you. and leave situations that you know are going to get you in trouble. Now, when you're reading the passion on here, it has footnotes, etc. I want to read these footnotes to you right quick. Now, it says twice in this verse, David used the Hebrew word shalom. Now, we all know if you know anything about Jewish customs, shalom means hello and goodbye. Kind of like aloha, right? Aloha? Okay. This word means much more than peace. He says it means, now watch this, these are all the adjectives that apply to us. It means wholeness, nothing missing, nothing broken. Well-being, you ever heard that statement? Wellness. You go to college, you're going to hear the word wellness. If you're a doctor, you know about wellness. It's not about just being healthy, it's about wellness. You got to have all, if some part of your body does not feel good, it makes everything else hurt. Well-being, safe, happy, friendly. I could minister a little while on that one. I might come back to it. Favor. Remember the favor of God? When you walk in righteousness, God puts favor on you in the eyes of people, and everywhere you go, you have favor. Everything works out in your favor. Everything at your job works in your favor. Blessings come to you. Favor just keeps pouring to you. The plowman overtakes the reaper. Safe, happy, friendly, favor, completeness to make peace, peace offering, secure, to prosper, to be victorious, to be content, tranquil, quiet, and restful. All of those things is what shalom, when it talks about peace, it's what it's talking about. All of those things, all those adjectives apply to us. Now, the end of this footnote, it says, so shalom is used to describe those of us who have been provided all that is needed to be whole and complete. Now watch this. And break off all authority that would attempt to bind us to chaos. If that doesn't explain the devil and the enemy, I don't know what does. The enemy is always trying to bind you and attach something to you. That's why when Jesus set those people free that were possessed by demons, those demons inhabited those people. And there was lots of them. Can you even imagine that? I mean, when you say the word legion, we're talking about thousands of demons inside of one person. Thousands. The very thought of that is over our heads. It's miraculous. It's spiritual. It's like way up here, which is where we're headed. Amen? We should be heading that direction and walking in the way that Jesus said. When you walk up to somebody who's possessed by a devil, I don't care if there's 50,000 of them or just one, you can say, come out of that man, and that sucker will hit the floor and take off running. Why? Because you have been crowned. You have authority that the world doesn't understand. You have something that the world cannot comprehend. That's why they're over there and we're over here. Authorities will try to bind you to something. And when it binds you to something, there is no what? There is no peace. So when Corey's talking about peace, you're going to need it, guys. If there's anything we need right now, it's peace in our finances, it's peace in our job, it's peace in our business. If you're a business owner, you need peace that you're going to have customers, that you're going to have clients, that you're going to be able to do all these things that you have planned in your head. You're going to have peace, because if you can't walk in peace, you start walking in sickness. You start walking in worry. You start walking in unbelief. You start walking in doubt, and you forget that God is the provider. Your job is not your provider. God is. And when you transition your mind to start believing that he's the Jehovah Jireh and not the God of just enough, not the Jehovah of just enough, he is the Jehovah Jireh who provides everything that your heart needs or desires. He has crowned you with glory. And as I close verse 15 and 16, I got to say this before I get out of here. He says, the eyes of the Lord are towards the righteous, those with moral courage and spiritual integrity, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. God is trying to remove evil from your life. How good of a job are you doing to help him with that? God is trying to take all these wrong things and put all of these good things in, and take all of the wrong people out of your life and put good people into your life. How good of a job are you doing to help him with that? God is not in control. If he was, he'd say, you know what, that person's bad for you, I'm going to kill him. That person's bad for you, I'm going to remove him. I'm going to put him in a car wreck. I'm going to kill all of them. He doesn't say that. He gives you the authority to make decisions for yourself, to put yourself in right places so that what? Evil can be cut off from you. That's the goodness of God. That's all of the things that God is trying to get to you and through you. Not just to you, but through you. Not only is he trying to bless you, he's trying to show the blessings that he gives to you so others can see what you're experiencing, so that they can start believing for salvation, so that their diseases can be healed, so that they can be pulled out of the pit, so that they can be crowned with glory, so that they can be renewed like the eagles. I don't care what your age is. Age doesn't matter. The age doesn't matter. And you should want to live a healthy and long life. Not say I would rather die unhealthy than unhappy. No, sir. That is not God's best for you. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to tell you what they told me. You're better than that. Well, I just don't want to be here when all this bad stuff happens. Who cares? It's coming. It's been here forever. It's just you know, intensifying. It's already here. It's been here for years. You're just starting to see more of it because we have access to the internet. Amen? It's all out there. It's been happening and happening and happening. You're just seeing it more now. Because why? The Bible says that this word will be preached into the whole world. How are they going to do that? Through internet. There's going to be people hearing about God didn't even know God existed. I didn't know about all this. I didn't know I could be saved. I didn't know I had to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I was always just told to go to church and hear what the priest has to say and let him read the Bible and blah, blah, blah. And I'm not picking on any religions, but I'm here to tell you, some of them preach that. Not this one. Amen. It is your responsibility to seek wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Don't believe just because the preacher says it. I'm a flawed man. But I am trying to walk in my gifts. And boy, did I fight them for a while. Amen, Ricky? You did too, didn't you? All right, every head bowed and every eye closed. I got to get out of here. All right. So with all that being said, I just need to know one thing from you, and I'm not going to bring you to the front, not going to embarrass you, not going to do any of those things. I'm just going to ask you one thing. Are you saved? Have you received Jesus as your Lord? Have you done what Psalm 103 verse 3 says? Have you been redeemed from your sins and cleansed and healed? And are you willing to allow God our Father, who sent His Son Jesus to die for us? Are you willing? I know there's not a whole lot of visitors in here, but if you're not saved, or if you've been going here for 5 years and ain't saved, I'm here to tell you that you got to make a choice. You have to make a decision, because this God stuff is not something that you just do on Sunday. This is not playground religion. This is real. And I'm telling you right now that if you ain't saved, you don't have fire insurance. There is a place called heaven and there's a place called hell. Those are locations. Those are places. And there have been people die and have actually been to hell to see what hell looks like, to see what it really is. And they have testimony. They came back from the dead telling these testimonies. It's as real as your eyeballs being open, driving down the road. It's that real. So I'm going to ask you right now, if you're not saved, you need to get saved. If you're not ready to make that commitment, that's on you, but you have a choice. When I say that God's not in control, God loves us so much that He gave us a choice. That's why He put the tree in the garden, was to give us the choice to love Him, to serve Him. He is offering you a free ticket to heaven. It doesn't require you to do anything. It doesn't require you to be good. All He wants you to do is confess out of your mouth that Jesus is Lord. That's all He wants. Because when you confess it, I'm telling you, spiritual things start happening. Spiritual things start moving. Rejoicing in heaven happens. But you have to make the decision. God's not going to come down here and make you receive Him. So if you've never received Jesus as your Lord, I want you to do that today if you're not saved. We're all going to pray a prayer with you. And ask, you know, just all I ask you to do is just get serious with this prayer. Because if you're not saved, you need to get serious. So after me, pray after me, say this. Everybody with me, say it. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I believe you, Jesus, died on the cross for my sins and arose again on the third day. I pray this prayer to the Father in Jesus' name. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you prayed that prayer and you meant what you said, you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior today for the very first time. All I want you to do on the count of three is just raise your hand. All you're doing is acknowledging to me. I'm the only one looking around. I just want you to acknowledge to me that you received Him. It's just a testimony to me that you got saved. If that was you, on the count of three, by raising your hand, you're saying, yes, I got saved for the very first time. I've never received Jesus, but today I did. If that was you, on the count of three, ready? One, two, three, go. Is there anybody? Anybody? Is there one? Right there. Okay, two. Good. Anybody else? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Anybody else? We got a Bible for you. If you just take that Bible, it's free. You don't owe us nothing for it. It's for you. So it's just got the New Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs in it. It's just a starter Bible. But I'm here to tell you, you probably need to get your own Bible because there's stuff in the Old Testament you need to know too. But that's a good starter Bible for you. So hallelujah. Y'all look at me. Hallelujah. Woo!